Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday, April 9th of 2019. April 9th already, you can believe it. And I'm so glad to have you folks listening in tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, whatever device you're using. And I believe that God has great things for you if you just, as you prepare yourself to receive from the Lord when we get into the Word in a little while. But we got some other preliminary stuff we're going to do first. And then we got sports we're going to do after that. But praise God, hopefully you come ready to receive the Word of God. First off, I forgot to mention this yesterday, but we had amazing weather as far as Sunday and Monday. Sunday, up here in this area, up here in Midland, Sunday was the earliest date in April that we hit 70 degrees since 2012. Actually, the earliest date in a year since 2012 in which we hit 70 degrees. And then yesterday we hit 70 as well. Rachel, what did your thing say? 71 yesterday? 71? 71. So that's 2 days. We are falling down through the 50s right now, and then tomorrow night, we got to deal with some snow. Looks like 1 to 3 inches, generally on elevated surfaces. Probably no need for a winter weather advisory or a storm watch or warning for these parts. I cannot say the same for some places that are off to our west by northwest, like Minneapolis, Minnesota, along with other cities over there, and like northern Wisconsin, places like that. Some of these places over there could get upwards of 2 feet of snow. 2 feet. Well, in April, we're supposed to be over feet of snow. It's supposed to just be a little dusting if you get anything in April, right? No more pranks from Mother Nature. I guess not. But we'll have to wait and see where that goes. But all right. I do want to say, folks, for those of you who didn't catch it, yesterday we did our first ever live show that was inside of Great Lakes Crossing Outlets. I should warn you folks, however, that not everything in there is outlets. Many of the stores than there are, but not all, of course. I mentioned the food court yesterday. I also mentioned some of the entertainment stuff they have, including Legoland Discovery Center, Sea Life Aquarium. Now they have this Peppa Pig Play Center, it's called. All three of those are ran by the same company. And then they also have an AMC movie theater, as well as a Round One bowling and amusement. Lots and lots and lots of arcade games in there. Sometimes when I'm in that mall, I like to peek my head in there for a couple minutes and hear all those games. It's pretty awesome. I heard something that sounded like Wheel of Fortune. They have a lot of great stuff in that place, that store. They have a Bass Pro outlet. I mean, a Bass Pro Outdoor World. Rainforest Cafe. In Bass Pro Outdoor World, they have like little mountain type stuff you can look at. They have like a little aquarium type thing. The water, it's kind of neat. So there's a lot to look at in there if you're not into shopping. There really is a lot to look at in that mall. There's a lot to do in it. Now they have a Top Golf nearby it, so it's really made Auburn Hills more of a destination type community. Even though the Palace left Auburn Hills, I mean the Pistons left Auburn Hills, and as a result of that, the Palace is essentially shut down. I don't know what they'll do with that. Maybe it'll become a headquarters of some kind. Maybe some housing developments at the site. Maybe something like that. I don't know. But Auburn Hills is really morphing into nerd community. 30 years ago, like before the Palace first opened, Auburn Hills was just this little village. And then when Great Lakes Crossing opened in 98, that really started the growth of the north and the Auburn Hills. Along 75, like if you're heading up towards Clarkston. That now up there, there's a lot of big box stores, good amount of restaurants in that area. Although I will say, restaurant wise, some of the neighborhoods of the Detroit area have more restaurants than what the Great Lakes Crossing area has. You've heard some of the same stuff too, Rachel, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
My hope is that, but the other way from the exit, there is Lake Orion, and Lake Orion does have some pretty good places, some of which I have yet to visit, one of which is called Old Detroit Burger Bar, and they got a lot of great restaurants, even just in the Auburn Hills, Clarkston area. I'm not even talking about Troy and other places, but they got a lot of good stuff down there. Is it the same as some of those southern places I've been to? Depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for southern, not so much. If you're looking for variety of different types of stuff, they have a good amount. I do wish there was more Chick-fil-A's downstate, though, I will say. Because right now, for the most part, the only freestanding ones in Michigan are over in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Holland, one's over in Benton Harbor, Kalamazoo, Portage. You know, you could tell I'm not as excited about those ones, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Because even in your mind, it's not just not the same over there, is it?
Nope.
Nope. Besides that, my mom doesn't live over there. So by default. B side. Or at least, like, biting in that and points east of it. And as I told you last night, in case you did, you were wondering, I did go to Steak and Shake. I did get, of course, the garlic burger. I was hoping that you could get a barbecue, that you could get the barbecue burger on a garlic bun. Turns out, though, that since the garlic, that since the barbecue burger costs more, that it would just be different. Apparently, you can do a certain bacon burger on a garlic bun. I might try something like that next time, but I think you but I feel like there, that garlic bun, to me, is kind of the default. I wonder if there's a restaurant anywhere where most of their buns are garlic, and then you got to ask for the other buns. Do you bet there's some kind of place like that somewhere? Do you bet there is? I'm curious as to where, because you can't go wrong with that bun. With the little garlic bread type thing, and then they put on some garlic salt, you know, at the end, so that it's like, so that there's some fresh garlic, and part of what makes it so good. And mind you, it's just $3.99 plus tax to get the burger and fries, which isn't even bad. Try that with a Big Mac. You can forget that. You're going to pay six something for it. With a drink, it'll be like $6.89 or something. And that bun is nowhere near, is not as soft. That bun is nowhere near as soft as that garlic bun. Is that garlic bun, Rachel, about the softest bun you've ever seen, do you think? I said on the pictures you've seen, though. Really? No pictures. You must have not seen the pictures. But they are delish. By the way, they do have your favorite Coca-Cola products, along with flavors you can put in them, like vanilla Coke. I mean, vanilla, among other favorites. Of course, my vanilla, to me, vanilla would be the default. Because as I've told you, listeners, vanilla is one of my all-time favorites. Yes, it is. It really is one of my all-time favorites. I want to remind you guys about a couple of things, and then I'm going to tell you guys about how you can call into the show, and I mean how you can tell others how they can be a part of the show. But a couple other things first. One of them is this. Tomorrow is the 10th of the month, which means El Cheapo Ice Cream is at Dairy Queen is, however you say Dairy Queen in Spanish. El Cheapo is cheaper, is Spanish for cheap, I think, isn't it? I think it is. I made up the other stuff, but okay, we'll just leave it at this. It's El Cheapo Ice Cream Day at Burger King for a small lizard. My hope is that the summer flavors will have arrived by tomorrow. If so, cotton candy for me, because flavors like that, to me, are some of the best they have to offer. And you can get it for like $133 plus tax. At a participating Dairy Queen near you. You should check to make sure you're burgering as a participant. One day, one time a couple of years back, I was on vacation in Alabama on the 10th of the month. And a certain Burger King, I mean Dairy Queen there near the beach, did not know about that thing. So I don't know if it's, I don't think it's just Michigan either. My hope is that it has now been made nationwide, because it is a delicious deal. I just wish we had warmer weather tomorrow to go with it, because really is some very good ice cream. And you can't go wrong with it. One of my favorite fall flavors that they do, of course, is the pumpkin pie. Did you ever get it? Have you ever gotten a pumpkin pie blizzard from Dairy Queen, Rachel, or no? Okay. But it is really, really good. Also, now, listeners, I want to encourage you, please tell everybody you know how they can be a part of this great radio program. We want you to tell people you know how they can be a part. And it's real easy to tell them. I tell you, so you know what to tell them. What you can tell prospective listeners is to go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. Once you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. After you've typed that in, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. No, you'll see a link that says Living Large. After you click on that link that says Living Large, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. After you've clicked on the Miracle Man button, you'll see another button that says Follow button. And hey, want to know what happens once you hit that follow button? You're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. You know what? Man, what's this mean? This means that you're going to get notified a little bit before we start the show. For example, tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to do our next show. And you'll get a notification a little bit beforehand so that you'll be able to, prospective listeners will be able to join the show, to listen live to the show. Praise God. And we also, and connectivity, you can listen to it on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop, even if you got those. You're way back in time if you still got a desktop, I think. Maybe not in general, but maybe not totally, but I'm sure at some desks people still have them. But, or on your tablet, you can listen to them on your tablet, your phone. We always say it's a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Because you do a lot of other things on your smartphone. You pay your bills, check your bank account balance, do all kinds of stuff, play all kinds of games. There's a little puzzle game I like playing myself. But how about doing something even better with it? Listening to this radio show. And it's an awesome thing, smart thing, to listen to this program on your smartphone. Because, for example, on your phone, if you're, for the most part, if you're in an LTE network area, you should be able to listen while you're driving your car. Just have it on speaker, you know, so you can always hear me. And you should be able to hear me good. And as I always said, it's a smart thing to listen to on your smartphone. Also, maybe you missed the live show, but you'd still like to somehow be able to listen. Well, for you, everything is archived. All the stuff we've done in the past, all the Miracle Man shows we've done in the past, all 300 of them plus, it's all live. I mean, it's all archived from the past year and a half, almost 2 years that we've done. And we've done a lot of great things. And it's all archived, and you can go back and search, see what all we've been up to. Okay? And we have a call. You can call to speak to me, the Miracle Man, directly. If you want some prayer, if you want to give me your testimony, you're always welcome to give me your testimony, regardless of what day of the week it is. It is Testimony Tuesday today, but I want to teach you a story about how to avoid shipwreck, because you can go shipwreck in a lot of ways. So be listening for that, because after I finish this up and after we pray, we're going to open up the Bible. The number to call in to be a part, to talk about generally anything you want to talk about, if you want to talk about the Bible, if you want to maybe ask me about shipwreck, what are these anchors all about, or any of this kind of stuff. If you want to talk to me about sports, generally anything other than politics, you're welcome to call in and talk to me. Number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then go ahead and press 1. Once you press 1, you'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know we got a caller. Then I'll give the all clear and I'll say, George from Ohio, you're here on the Miracle Man Show. What say you? Or wherever you may be from, as we are on the World Wide Web. So, praise God. Hopefully we can get some great calls tonight. Now, I want to encourage you to something. And I say this a lot on the show, but I want to remind you something. Please, don't just sit there and listen to me. I mean, if you're driving, that's the best you can do. But if you're in a place where you can safely do so, I got the Bible open. Open your Bible and study it with me. When I pray, like I'll be doing in a minute, go ahead and pray. If I sing a song and you folks know the lyrics, you go ahead and sing with me. And whatever I do here at where I'm at, you do whoever you are. And just feel free to participate and receive what God has for you. Amen. So we're going to pray. Then I'm going to open up my Bible and we're going to study for a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. I thank you for these listeners who have chosen to listen to this program. And Lord, I thank you that these listeners come to you expecting to receive something from you. I thank you that these people come with hearts ready to receive, that they come with ears to hear, and a heart that understands and is ready to understand this great word from you, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that these people will receive everything you have for them. And I just thank you that you meet every need tonight. Thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, oh God. And dear Jesus, I confess over the show right now that finances come into this program exceedingly and abundantly above what I could ever ask or think. Thank you that sponsors come into this program, partners, people who love you, love sports. And Lord, I thank you for increases in listenership coming to this program, more and more and more listeners. And most importantly, Lord, I thank you for souls coming into this radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, and amen and amen. Open up your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. Praise God. Acts 27. What you going to teach on, Miracle Man? I'm going to teach on how to avoid shipwreck in the faith. How to avoid going shipwreck in the faith. Let's just see if one of these listeners can beat me. Ooh, I think it might be pretty close. But I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 27. If you have not found the spot, I might have to call your pastor and have you go back to children's church. I'm just teasing you, just giving you a hard time. All right. If you haven't found it, just go ahead and catch up. And when it was decided that we would sail Italy, Paul and some other decided that we should we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from a green medium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Assa, and we put out to sea. Our carcass, a Macidian from Seattle, Africa, was with us. The next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, he allowed him to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. From there, we put out to sea again, and we passed to the line of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days, and we had difficulty arriving off Cyprus. Off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the line of Crete, opposite Salmone, and we moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Havens, near the town of Laodicea. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the feast. By now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and to cargo and to our own lives already." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and one of there. No, not Phoenix, Arizona. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Verse 13 now. We're on to another passage. "And when a gentle south wind began to blow," follow along now, "when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted." Oh, so they thought. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Uh-oh, but before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster. We have storms like this here in America sometimes, some of these winter storms we might, they'll have in the northeastern United States. They call them the nor'easters. They swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm, and it could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. As we passed to the line of a small island called, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. They put anchors down, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope after the men had gone a long time without food. Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and this loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, which I am, and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen, just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Here's where the shipwreck happens. And on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. a short time later, they took soundings or measurements again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the boat. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat or take food, saying, "For the last 14 days, he said, today is the 14th day. You have been in constant suspense, and that you have continued without food. You haven't eaten anything, and now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. He broke it, and he began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, 276 people on board the ship. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the buffers. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out those plans. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. this way, everyone reach land in safety. I'll read the first few verses of this so that you can see what happened. Once they were safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a river driven out by the heat and fastened it on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer." And though he escaped from the sea, has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and they said that he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to the chief. I'm going to end it right there at 6. Just check the clock. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Actually, you can just sit by the fire and I'm going to talk. I'm going to teach you guys. All right. What you see is you see they get on a ship and they're trying to go somewhere for winter. And then they let them all get on some other ship. And it's storming like crazy. And it's like the storms, and it's like they, you know, there's a big windstorm. But then, and then suddenly, soft, southerly wind began to blow. So they went along with the soft, southerly wind. And they said, "We should continue." Before it had been too long, that wind picked up and it became of hurricane force, which is basically 75 miles an hour. And I'm sure at times it was even higher than that. Oh, and by the way, that hurricane lasted for 14 days. 14 days. Of storm surge, crazy storm surge, wrecking the ship like mad. They had to throw anchors overboard. They had to throw cargo overboard. And it was just a crazy storm. And they thought, that soft southerly wind, the grass is greener on the other side. Well, it seemed like it for a few minutes. But then wind, waves, howling, crazy, crazy, crazy. And the ship ended up hitting a sandbar. And then Paul had even given warning. But the pilot decided instead, he decided to go with what the owner of the ship said instead of listening to Paul. Paul knew from God. Paul knew what they were supposed to do. They didn't do it. So, shipwreck. And then finally, they all got to shore safely. But not before the people who could swim first had to swim to land, and those who couldn't swim too well get aboard by walking across planks or other pieces of the ship in order to get to land. They landed at Malta. But it was raining and cold. You see, Dr. Barclay talked about this on Sunday night, how to avoid shipwreck. You can avoid shipwreck. For example, just by, for example, taking a great job and it not being God. Maybe it's not God for you to have this certain job. That soft little southern wind might start to blow. And for a little bit, it might be, feels good. I got all that money. I can increase my tithe. I can increase my giving. I can give more into my church's building program. Whatever. I can do more to help. But then something can happen. You get all caught up in that. Maybe you start working extra hours, all kinds of overtime. Maybe some other stuff happens. Maybe you just think, oh, I'm so blessed now, I don't need God. And then suddenly you quit going to church. Soon enough, all that wind, stuff starts happening. Pretty soon you start not living by faith anymore. You start not doing what you've been taught by God, by your pastor to do. Maybe your kids who had been hot for God, now they're not. And they don't go to church anymore because you don't. And all this other kinds of stuff starts happening. All because you thought the grass was greener on the other side. You got to have some anchors. You got to have these spiritual anchors in your life to help you avoid going shipwrecked. You have to read your Bible. That has to be one of the anchors. Faith in God has to be one of the anchors. Prayer needs to be one of the anchors. And you need to tithe. You need to find a church in which to pay your tithes and offerings. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove you, therefore, that I will not pour out a blessing on your behalf. So you've got to have faith in God. You've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You've got to have prayer. And you've got to have a great church in which you go. And when you pay your tithe and rub shoulders with believers, you got to have these anchors to save you when you're going through stuff. And you got to be obedient to God. Don't just go with that little soft wind. You know, if you're going through some rough stuff, like in a certain area, and then you say you got that south wind, and it's like, it just seems so good. It seems so right. It seems so, is it God? If it's not, well, you can get off the boat. Don't follow that south wind. Because then it'll get rough and it'll become a hurricane, possibly a Category 5 hurricane. And could go shipwreck, and you could lose a lot of things, even if not your life. Now, Paul and them, they didn't exactly lose their life, but they lost all their cargo because they threw it overboard. You can't just give up on God and that when you're going through that kind of stuff. All you're going to do then is it's going to be even worse, and you're going to go even more shipwrecked. So you have, you need, it's really important that you stay rooted and grounded. Reading your Bible, praying to God, staying in church, being obedient. Be a doer of the word. Don't just be a hearer. You can't just be a hearer of the word of God. You've got to be a doer. Be an obedient to what God said. And you should be able to discern what God's telling you. If you can't figure it out, help. Ask God to show you how. So that you can get, let him guide you. That can be a great way to help you avoid shipwreck, going shipwreck in the faith. And by the way, you got to keep the faith level up. How do we do that? By hearing, and hearing the word of God preached. So, if you keep all those anchors in your life and just stay anchored, rooted, grounded, you might go through some rough seas. Oh, sometimes you might be going through a Category 5 hurricane. Not a real one. It might feel like it. Some other areas. But you can't just give up on God. You can't do that. That's a great way to go shipwreck. And you don't want to go shipwreck. We want to see you make it. And to have God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, all these people in Hebrews 11, they live by faith. That's why I take time all the time to read you Hebrews 11. So you can see it. It's been a little while since I've done it, so let's open it up and go to Hebrews 11 now. I was gonna not read it, but then I decided to go ahead and open up to Hebrews 11 and read it. Just fix this something. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hebrews 11, just fixing something real quick, and I'll be ready to head him over there. Praise God. We're going to begin with verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I always say, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy faith he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, or heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Numerous as the sand on the seashore. Responsible. But you okay? I only saw them. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as one who was. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. As good as that is the sand, stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Was commended as one who pleased God without faith regarding their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Our faith Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 2, verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just check my clock real quick. All right. Now, what you see there is sorry about that, folks. But what you see there in all that reading is that these people, every one of them, lived by faith. They didn't doubt God. They did what God wanted them to do. That was what they did, was they followed everything that God had for them, instead of just doing it how they saw fit, because doing it your own way is instead of doing it God's way, doesn't work out that well at all. It really doesn't. So it's so important to not lose track. Got to stand. Lord, I thank you that you help us. I thank you for this word tonight, that you help us, that we're going to keep these anchors that we talked about. The anchors of reading the Bible, living in prayer, living by faith, and having our feet planted firm, not only in the house of God, but living for God in our personal life. Amen. We're going to be obedient to your spirit, God, and do, and we are going to follow your directives, your commands, instead of just doing it how we want, Lord. And I thank you that you help us all the time, and that you will always be there to be our guide, to kind of help us, be our mentor. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for you living on the inside of us, for being our help. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. All right. Sports. Tigers. I forgot to look at what they did today, but they were in the middle of that 5-game winning streak. I hope it is now 6. I really do. But I like what I've been seeing from this team so far. I just wish that their bats would just keep waking up just a little more. I like what I've been seeing from the pitchers. I know we don't have a Verlander necessarily or anything like that, but we're still getting her done. And that's what you got to do, is get her done, get the job done, and win the ball game. In basketball news, the Pistons tonight are playing the Memphis Grizzlies in Detroit. The Pistons play tonight, and then they play another lowly team in the Eastern Conference either a couple of days or tomorrow. They need to win both of these games if they want to make the playoffs. Otherwise, they're not going to make the playoffs. And it's been too long since any Detroit team has made the playoffs. It's been a while. Hopefully they can win a game, because it'll feel much better to have a Detroit team win a playoff game, because it's been so long since a Detroit team has actually won a playoff game in the pros. Been too long. Time for a change. And hopefully Pistons are able to make the playoffs. Hopefully they will win a playoff game. I really hope. That doesn't mean they will, but I'm going to have the hope. Also, the NBA has released the preseason schedules for the teams. The regular season schedule will be released soon. I'll let you know kind of some highlights for the Lions once it is available as to what it'll be made up of, what divisions will they have to play. I'll let you know when it becomes available. What will it be made of so that you can kind of be thinking that. But they've been I like what the Lions have done in free agency. Hopefully they'll continue the momentum and do good in the draft so that they can hopefully get some more winning going and go from 6-10 to making the playoffs. Because I think this year for Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn, Stafford, to keep everybody together, I think this year is a playoffs or bust scenario. I really do. I think it's playoffs or bust. I've heard Huge say it over on ESPN 100.9 FM with the Huge Show Network live across Michigan, headquartered over there in Grand Rapids. And Bill Simonson does a great job at that show. And one of these days I'd love to have Bill Simonson have an interview with him live on the show someday. I really hope so. But, that's all I have for tonight. And so until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow.